All right. Well, in lieu of singing, since I don't want to run nobody off, I'm not going to sing. My singing, my joyful noise has a close resemblance to an awful racket. So we won't do that. Amen. Tonight we want to talk about a hard time. Anybody ever go through a hard time? Nah. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 in your little Bible. You got your own. Of course, we're going to be reading out the New King James Version tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start there. You know, some people think that if they're going through a crisis, then they must be out of God's will. 231? Thank you. Page 231 in the little Bible. But some people think if they're going through a hard time or crisis, then God must be angry with them or something's going wrong. But to be honest, probably quite the contrary. Probably quite the opposite. Come on in.
Not too late?
No. Not at all. Just in time. Never too late. We're going to talk about this hardship and three things that we can take out of the hardship to improve our life. In other words, when we have a problem, hardship, whatever you want to call it, crisis, and we all, in the same world, we all got rubber tires, so we all wear tires out and so on and so forth. We're all affected by that. My last truck I owned was, other than what I got now, it had a 318 Detroit in it. Anybody know what it was famous for? That's right. If it didn't leak, you better bore a hole in it. Unless I'm an oil out. But, you know, I used to say mine leaks like everybody else's. Just that I trust God to get me more. And he always does. He always goes with us. Read in 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start at verse 6. What page was that, somebody? 231 in the little Bible. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, or the mighty hand of God, the New King James says, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, or alert, another word for that. Be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, after you've suffered a while, we don't want that part. Amen? No, nobody does. We want the crown without the cross. And I'm telling you, it ain't never going to happen. It's just never going to happen. We were singing at our church the other day. We do hymnal songs and praise song, and we were singing one that said, blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and who takes away. And our smart aleck preacher stood up there and said, how many rejoices when he's taking it away? Kind of hard, ain't it? But then if we have given ourselves to him, we give him that right. Give or take away. Amen. According to his perfect will for our life. But let's go on. After you suffered a while, to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, three things we want to look at here. One is, in the valley or hard time, there are attitudes we need to adopt. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. We used to say that sometimes. People would say, that guy needs an attitude adjustment. Do you remember, anybody remember that? And no, you. That was after your time, not before your time.
Was there a song about that,
Joe? I think so. All right, let's, verse 6, go back up to verse 6, and it says this, One thing I have found, I know in men, we have a problem sometimes with P-R-I-D-E, pride. What's right in the middle of that word? I. It's all about me. This world, this day and time, it's all about me. What do I get out of this deal? You know? And again, if that's our attitude, then we can be put in a hard time. We can be put in a hardship. If for no other reason, God will humble you. Believe me. I know. Been there and done that. I always liked to participate. When I had my business, you know, we would participate in the Christmas, what do you call them, basket boxes, whatever. We'd gather, you know, make up this great big ham, turkey, and all kind of stuff and take it to a family. We'd buy gifts, you know, for children. And somebody would tell us of one or whatever. We'd, you know, go bless that family. Well, one year they brought it to my house. That hurts. That hurts. After I had done it several times, you know, then they come to my house because my church knew what I was going through. My business went south. I know you've never had that happen, especially as owner-operator. I mean, you know, I got tired of counting money, so I sold the truck. So, going out. But no, there's a long story behind that. Sometimes God just flat has to humble us down. And nobody wants that. So sometimes the hardship could be that. In verse 6, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, we humble ourselves under God's hand, not the world. That don't mean you become a doormat. It means that you say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but your will be done. Just about every morning, I pray, God, your will be done in my life today. And then I add to that, then give me strength to walk that out. Because I know that his will for me sometimes is kind of like, ooh, it's hard. But then he has to teach me. Amen? And the valley, sometimes you ever heard it called a valley going through a deep valley? Well, sometimes we have to get in that valley so we can grow. And I said we. And some things go on and on and on. So verse 6 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Then another thing that we need to adapt out of this one attitude, another thing we need is patience. I hate that word. I would like to get that word out of the Bible somehow or another. At least get a magic marker. No, can't do that, can we? We pick and choose what we want. And again, I want the crown with no cross. I want the blessings without the other. And how many knows that's just never going to happen? So we need to learn patience. Verse 6 also said, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. When?
In due time.
When?
In due time.
Due time. His time. His time is almost never my time. I'm the guy standing in front of the microwave that said, hurry, hurry, hurry. I'm sorry, I struggle with that. And Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord. I don't like wait either way you spell it. We don't want to talk about that either. Wait. Oh, come on. Come on. So sometimes we need to learn patience. Then we need to learn trust. Verse 7 says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. We need to learn trust. We need to learn in this hardship, this trouble, this trial in our life, we need to learn that we can trust him. He will always take care of our needs. Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter what. We have seen times get real, real, real lean in the ministry. But you know, what I go back to is this, his word. This is true no matter what it looks like. Amen? Amen. Doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the stock market's doing. God does not read Wall Street, apparently. If he were at Wall Street, he'd be chewing his fingernails off if he's got them. I mean, I don't know if a spirit being got fingernails, but, you know, we look at the news. I saw a guy a while ago came into the restaurant and bought a paper, which I do all the time. I'm also guilty of getting up watching the news, you know, and I say guilty. I want to stay involved. I want to stay informed what's going on in the world, because all the bad stuff they're telling me is good stuff in here. You see, if the bad stuff don't happen, the good stuff can't come. Hello? And he has promised he's going to take me out of here sooner or later, either by death or the rapture of the church, the catching up. I'm out of here. Doesn't matter what happens here, I'm guaranteed a place there. Used to be an old song said, build me a little cabin in the corner of glory land. There ain't no cabins in glory. Nowhere in the Bible it talked about a cabin. Man, I want a mansion. I done had a cabin. I done had one of them. You stand in front of the fireplace in the wintertime and burn on one side and you're freezing on the other side because there's cracks in the floor about like that. That's where I raised, you know. You turn around and around and around trying to get the whole body warm. The greatest thing ever invented to me is central heat and air. That's the biggest blessing I ever got. Wake up and the whole house is warm. That's wonderful. So we have to learn to trust in Him. You see, sometimes God allows this hardship to come into our life, like I say, to humble us down, to teach us patience, and to learn to totally trust in Him. Most anybody says, I believe in God. I mean, you know, there's some people who call themselves atheists. I understand that. And I say call themselves because nobody's that crazy. It takes more faith to do that than it does to trust, believe God. To believe that all this just happened. The Big Bang Theory. You ever heard of that? I'm like one guy said, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God spoke and bang, it happened. If that's what you're talking about. But anybody, just about anybody, will say, I believe in God. Or I believe the Bible's true. Whether they live in it or not, they would say, probably the Bible's true. Well, no, just saying that and believing it is two different things. Because if you believe it, you're going to be living it. The second thing we can take from our hardship is knowing there's a war to be won. Ephesians chapter 6. In fact, let's turn over there right quick, can we? Ephesians 6:10. I want to read this right quick if we can. He warned us that we're going to be in this war, but you see, God also gave us all we need to fight the war, actually to win the war. We've got everything we need to win this spiritual war. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start reading in verse 10. And it talks about putting on the full armor of God. And by the way, you notice every time it says full armor, not part of it. One of my favorite Bible teachers is Dr. Charles Stanley here in Atlanta. And he says when he gets in trouble during the day, he wonders what part of his armor he forgot to put on when something happened. We need to get spiritually dressed every morning. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Who's our enemy? The devil. And he is in the heavenly places or realm. The heavens, by the way, in the Bible, it talks about heavens plural sometimes. Heaven is where God is. But heavens plural is the atmosphere, the hemisphere, the stratosphere, and so on, as we go up from what we know as earth. That's what the Bible's talking about when it talks about multiple. The atmosphere is, of course, all around us all the time, right? That's where the enemy is, and that's where he rules. That's his domain. We're living in his domain because Adam gave it to him. Adam gave him that authority. Jesus took it back. But if we don't accept what Jesus did, see, we don't get advantage of that. So there again, We may be in a hardship sometimes. God's trying to teach us. Here, let's read this armor, though. For we do not wrestle against that. All right, verse 13. But therefore take up the whole armor. See there again, it says whole armor. The whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In the evil day, not if. Who's got a different version that you're reading out of? What you got back there on the back?
This is the New International Version.
What does it say right there?
It says, so that when the day of evil comes, it's not saying if
it'll
come.
That's right. When. The word when. When the day of evil comes. You know, if it's coming, you know, it's kind of like this brother from Ohio. We were talking about it's cold up there. It's probably still snowing. Now, they know it's going to snow, right? It'd be fantasy for somebody living there to think, well, maybe it won't snow this year. That's crazy, right? Going south, maybe it won't be hot. We could say maybe the devil won't attack. Same foolishness when you think about it. He's going to. I guarantee you. In fact, I don't want it any other way. I don't want him to think that we're friends. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't look forward to the attack. I'm not an idiot. I don't look forward to it, but it's just a way of life. Just a way of life. And we need to prepare for it. These hardships we're going through sometimes is of our own accord, by the way. We can put ourselves there. All the time. That's right. By simply failing to follow the instructions. Failing to get fully dressed. I didn't finish that. Let's read that. It says, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Notice what we did first. Get the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we don't have all of our armor on. If you've not heard the Word of God in the morning, you're going through the day without part of your armor. And I'm like you. I get up, get late, whatever, and get in a hurry. Take off without it sometimes. And most of the time, I get in trouble. Simply because I was in too big a hurry. So I get in hardship sometimes because I didn't take time to get spiritually dressed. Okay, now I mentioned there's a war to be won. There's five ways to win this war. How many wants to win? Man, I like to win. I hate to lose. Five ways. And verse 8 said, be sober or be alert. The NIV again says, be self-controlled and alert. Self-control. That means I'm not going to do what the flesh wants me to do. You got flesh like I have. It'll lead you astray somewhere along the line, no matter what it is. There's all kind of stuff out there we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be around. We shouldn't participate in. All right? And second way to win the war is know your adversary or enemy. I'm a big football fan. How many like football? Do you know what they spend a whole lot of their time, any team, you know what they spend a lot of their time doing before the game?
Practicing
and what else?
Watching films
of who? Exactly. They're studying their opponent to see where their weak spot is, right? And they're going to find it. That's right. So what we need to do is study our enemy. Who's our enemy? He said that in 1 Peter, right? Your enemy, the devil. We don't have to wonder who it is. We know who it is. There's quite a bit written in here about him. And it spells him out, his strengths and his weaknesses. It does have weakness, you know. One of them is this book. He's not afraid of Joe Hunter. He's not afraid of you, but he that's within me, that's the difference. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, if we know that for a fact, when we fall into these hard times and things are looking bad, we got to remember who we are and remember how it's going to come out. When it's going to come out, we don't know, right? Sometimes the valley gets long and dark and deep. Some of you have been through some of those in different ways. Some been through divorce. Some been through all kinds of things. But we share one common goal. One common thing is the enemy is the same. The enemy is the same. So we need to know the enemy. Verse 8 says, your adversary or the enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, this is interesting. If I remember my English, I despised English in school. You've heard me say that before. But when I began to study the word, it came alive to me. For instance, what does may tell us? Whom he may devour. He's asking permission, right? Can is giving permission. May is asking permission. Remember that? You did go to school, didn't you? A couple of days.
They had school back then.
Yeah, okay. I can pick on him. He's bigger than I am, but I can outrun him, I think. I can sure try. But listen to what he's saying there in that scripture. He walks around seeking whom he may devour. The only way he can devour us is we let our guard down. We actually have to give him permission to whip us. How do we do that? We don't pray. We don't read the Bible. We walk around with half our armor on, if any. Oh, I'm just trusting the Lord. We better do what he said. What happened? Where was God? He was in his word. With instruction, right? I failed to read the instruction. I got to drive a 1958 Peterbilt the other day. 1958, had two sticks in it. And I asked the owner, I said, what is it, 5 3? He said, I don't know. And there's no data plate left up there. I said, well, just find one. Okay, here we go. And reverse was over and down, by the way. So I'm thinking, well, if reverse is way over there. But what I'm saying is, you know, there was no instruction there. Fortunately, I was bobtailing, so it really didn't matter what gear I was in. It was going to be okay. We have instruction. Foolproof. Instruction. We got a track that back there I thought was interesting. It said, foolproof your foolproof your marriage. Is that it?
Fireproof.
Fireproof your marriage. There's only one way to do that. I tell a prospective bride and groom, I can guarantee you success in your marriage. I can guarantee you will never divorce. Especially if you told somebody done been divorced 3 or 4 times, you got their attention. The only way is both of you live according to this book. You see, my wife and I don't have the option of running down to the courthouse and, you know, I see these signs, uncontested divorce 499 or whatever. It don't matter. We don't have that option. Both of us love God. Right? Both of us are supposed to be living by this book. We've had hardships in our marriage. Be 44 years come December. Praise God. What a blessed woman.
Amen.
she wonders sometimes if it's a blessing or a curse. But you see, we stick with the book. When hard times come, when we have disagreements, we know the war can be won because the book says so. Right? And men, you know what? I'm big enough to say, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I was wrong. I didn't act or I didn't react the right way. Well, you say I'm sorry one way or the other, you know. Somebody saw me buy her candy some time back, and you had the doghouse? I said, no, I call it preventative. So I don't get in it. Because I know I'm going to mess up sooner or later. The war can be won. Know your enemy. And the third thing, way that we can win the war, is remember his aim. Read verse 8 again. Be sober, alert, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's wanting to devour us. Somebody turn to John 10:10 right quick. John chapter 10, verse 10. And be prepared to read that for me so we can hear it. We got to know what his aim is. We got to know what he's up to. And there's no question in my mind what he wants to do. Anybody got that? All right.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have more abundantly.
The thief comes to what?
Steal,
kill,
and destroy.
And destroy. Know his aim. What's he coming for? He wants to steal my joy? Huh? He wants to kill my relationship? Wants to destroy my relationship? If we know who we are in Christ, he can't kill me. He don't have that authority. As long as I'm walking in the Word. Some people run around on a fast lawnmower. They ain't gonna tell what's gonna happen to them. But no, we gotta know his aim. The other thing is take action. Verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. We got to take action if we're going to win the war. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, or stand fast, one version says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist him. Resist him. James 4:7 says almost the same thing, except, let me, I don't want to misquote that. James chapter 4, verse 7, one of my favorite scriptures. It said, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Notice he says, submit to God first. You go trying to resist the devil without submitting to God, and he'll eat your lunch. He knows who I am. He knows what my weaknesses are, right? But if I've got this coming out of my mouth, because Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I'm speaking the Word of God, I don't mean quoting it. I don't mean quoting the Bible all the time. No. But if that's coming out of my mouth, you understand? If peace and joy and love and those things are coming out of my mouth, then I'm covered. Right? The Word manifests itself in my life. Or hate and discontent can come out of my mouth. It's my choice. It's my mouth. How many knows that sometimes hate and discontent comes out? All of us. Right? Sometimes we just don't act. So sometimes we get in this hardship or this valley because of that. And so we got to take action and change that. Remember Ephesians we read? It said, put on what? The whole armor of God. Every morning. Every morning. Any veterans in the house? All right. Vietnam?
No.
Go ahead and say that. I shouldn't ask that question. He's so old he couldn't even go in. No.
I was in the Marine Corps from 81 to 89.
Well, they taught you at basic training, AIT and all that, they trained us, right, for combat. Whether or not you went, you were supposedly trained, right? But it was my option when I got to Vietnam. It was my option whether I used that or not. Nobody said, hey, you better put your flak jacket on this morning. They didn't care whether I died or not. Hey, you better put your steel pot back on. I never did hear nobody say that. They didn't care. Right? I care. Right? But it was my option. So God gives us all of this full armor, but it's our option whether we use it or not. Being born again is the starting point, not the finish line. Being born again is the beginning of a great adventure, the greatest of my whole life. And I can't hardly wait to see what he's going to do next. I really can't. So we need to be alert. We need to know our enemy. We need to remember his aim, what he's up to, take action, and then we need to be assertive. Be assertive. Verse 9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, one says, or steadfast in the faith. We got to know where we're anchored, right? Anchored in the Word, all right? So he provides all we need to win the war. The third thing we can bring, take out of our hardship, I'll get it in a minute, is the best part, I'm happy to say. The third part that we're going to talk about tonight, a lot of things, of course, that we could cover, but the third part is the best, and that is there's a goal to be gained. There's a goal. Paul said he's running the race, right? And we're going to win. One is, in verse 10, God calls us to be perfected. To be perfect. Now, am I ever going to be perfect in this body? No. Are you?
Yeah.
But shouldn't we work on it? Yeah. You know, it's amazing that the Bible teaches us very clearly, I'd say. It says several times, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. One time it says, right? Then it turns around and says, there's none perfect, no, not one. And you go, well, what's the deal? Then Paul comes along and clarifies it for me. He says, strive towards perfection. Work at it. Just because we mess up, we don't just fold and quit. Right? So we need to work at that. And going through trials is how he perfects us or how he matures us. And we should constantly be trying to improve our walk or our life with him. Constantly working on it. We've got four of our grandbabies at the house. And they range from 9 years old to 7 months old. At 7 months, she don't do much, right? She knows somebody's going to take care of her. But now the 9-year-old, we expect to have a little bit more maturity, right? Just like when I left, I said, you going to help Granny with the baby? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Of course, I gave her $1. That helped.
That helped.
Bribery. So we should grow. Second thing, and the goal that we can gain is conform to his ways. And through trials, we learn to do things his way. Mine's trial and error. I don't know about you, but it seems like it works that way for me. But you know what? It's like, I think of Peter in the boat. Well, all the disciples were in the boat. You remember the story? Jesus come walking across the Sea of Galilee, and they were scared to death. I mean, hey, if you saw somebody walking across the lake or river, what would you do? It'd freak me out. I know there ain't no stones down there. And of course, you know, he said what? Fear not. It's me. Everything's cool. Something like that. If he was in South Georgia, he'd say that. On the lake in Georgia. Be cool, guys. And of course, Peter said, if it's you, what'd he say? Bid me to come. Jesus said one word. What?
Come.
Peter got out and walked across the water.
The only one.
He started walking on the water. We don't know if he made one step, two steps, 10 steps. Nobody really knows. But he was on the water. And as long as he looked at Jesus, everything was fine. He got into a hardship pretty quick because, he was an owner-operator. He had his own boat. In fact, he had several boats. He was a very wealthy man, Peter was, if you study his life. But he got out there and got to thinking, now wait a minute, people don't walk on water. What in the world am I doing? I don't know if that's what he thought, but the Bible says he looked down, right?
And went down.
He looked down and
went down.
That's good. He went down and he started going down, but he was smart. See, when his hardship came, what did he do? Cried out to Jesus, and Jesus said, no, I knew you was going to fail. Drown. No, that's not what he said. He reached in and got him by the hand, right? And they walked back to the boat together. He knew where to go to. So as we grow, we conform to his ways through our trials. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that old things have passed away. Behold, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things, one version says, old things are passing away and new things are coming. I like that. Now, if you're born again, that quick. That quick. We can't understand that, but we are. If you fell dead the next second, you go straight to heaven with a clear record. But habits, what is it? Old habits are hard to break sometimes, right? So we got to train this flesh not to react like it used to. Not to go where it used to. Not to do what it used to. And it don't like that a bit. Again, some of our hardships can be brought on because of that. And through and strengthened through trials, we learn to turn to the Word where all of our strength comes from. Amen. Turn to Colossians 2. Gosh, I'm running out of time. Colossians 2. Somebody find that and tell us the page. Colossians 2, 6. 199 in the little book. Colossians 2, 6. This is talking about a born-again Christian. And that, remember I said that's the place to start but not to stay? That's the start, beginning. Colossians 2, 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now that's somebody's born again, right? You've received Jesus Christ. Then what did he say? So walk in him. Watch this. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. Boy, there's a lot of isms and schisms out there today. Just anything your taste buds like, spiritually speaking. Anything. But most of it don't line up with this. And if it don't, leave it alone. Leave it alone. We could call names, that wouldn't do any good. I just say this, if it's not coming out of here, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Well, how are you going to know it? Read it yourself. Know what the book says. You're around some of these 44 cowboys, I call them. They start telling truck stories. And we sit back kind of, okay. Noah, that ain't right. There ain't no way, right? Best what I heard, by the way, I must share this with you since you've been driving a little while. Come off of Mont Eagle Mountain. Anybody know where that is in Tennessee? This guy told me as a truth, I'm glad he started out, you ain't going to believe this. Said he was coming off the mountain and lost all of his air. This is way back, didn't have maxi brakes back then. And some of you don't know what that is. Well, that's the maxi brakes work when you run out of air. When you used to run out of air, you were freewheeling. He lost all of his air, and he was going down the mountain and saw traffic, and out of habit, he reached and grabbed the air horn. And he said he was running so fast, the air went through the horn and into his system and built up air in the tank. That's about the best thing I've heard.
Yeah.
Top that. But now, somebody didn't know anything about it may believe it.
He wouldn't get enough air to blow his horn.
Exactly. Now, things in the spiritual realm is the same way. If we don't know, some of them have what we call charisma. It sounds real convincing. In fact, the cults that are out there today, there's many cults in America. I didn't say occult, there's that too. But cults, anything, anybody or any organization that doesn't teach the Word of God in its fullness is a cult. Okay? There's some out there that's got a program that's so convincing that millions are buying into it. Millions. Because they don't know. And they'd rather listen to somebody talk that they like to listen to than find out if it's true. A goal to be gained. We got to be strengthened in the Word. We got to establish ourselves. That's what that just taught us, right? Be established in the Word. And then most of all, we should glorify God with our life. Bottom line, Romans 8:28 says, all things, we know that in all things He is working for our good. All things work together for good. To who? To them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. See, everybody don't qualify for that. Because all of them don't love God. That just took you out from under that umbrella. Okay? To them that are called according to His purpose, every born-again Christian is called of God to do something. Every one of us has a ministry to do. We said earlier, Lonnie can play mean guitar, but he doesn't sing. His wife sings, as we used to say, like a canary. She's got a beautiful voice, but she don't play the guitar. See? We all got our parts to do. We all got, and God has called you people into trucking to take His gospel all over the United States. You'll be places where there's no chapel. Probably next Sunday, some of you will be in a truck stop where there's no chapel. No chapel service going on. Guess what? You're it. You're it. He put you there for that reason. I'm supposed to preach? No, not necessarily. But let your light shine. What did He say? Let your light shine before men. That's all you got to do. Sometimes it's simple as saying grace over a meal. And you don't have to say it for everybody can hear you. Just bow your head. I take my hat off now. I got chewed out one time for praying with my hat on. So take my hat off. And really and truly, if my prayer won't go through that hat, we're in trouble. But I didn't say nothing because he was my elder. I didn't say anything. But you know what? All of us are called to do that. Let me read you one more. I forgot to give you this reference. Luke 10:18, I believe it is. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give you the authority to... Now here's us, all born-again Christians, not just certain people, all born-again Christians Jesus was talking to. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said that. I didn't. Are we walking there? Or does Satan roar like a lion and we take off running? And how he roars is somebody opposed what you said. I got news for you. Whatever you say, somebody's going to oppose it. If you like red, they like black. If you like Chevrolet, they like Ford. You know, whatever. So we don't worry about that. We witness when he allows us to. And he says, verse 20 after that, really puts the icing on the cake. In verse 20, it says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. In other words, don't rejoice because you got power over the enemy. That's automatic. As a born-again Christian, you should be exercising that. That should be every day. He said, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are what? Written in heaven. That's right. That's what we rejoice about. That's what we boast about, if you please. Not what I have here on earth. Not what I've accomplished or hadn't accomplished. That don't mean nothing. The story goes that a very, very wealthy man died, and they saw his funeral possession go by, and somebody said, "I wonder how much he left." Somebody else said, "All of it. All of it." Then nothing matters what you've gained on earth. Not a thing. It don't amount to nothing. When breath leaves your body and my body, the only thing that's going to count is how I stand with Him. And there's nothing nobody can do except you. Jesus has already paid for it. It's already been made available. If you hadn't accepted it, that's because you chose not to. You will actually choose, if you please, you have chosen to go to hell. That's insanity when you think about it. That don't make any sense at all. But we choose to follow God. If we don't do that, we've automatically chosen to follow Satan. So, the hardships we may be experiencing may be there to bring us back to Christ. It may be to bring us to Christ. Maybe He has to kind of take everything we got to get our attention. Sometimes when you're flat on your back, there's only way to look. I didn't do that either. Thought I turned that off. Sometimes we get flat on our back. How do we look then? Up. And by the way, the ball that hits the bottom the hardest bounces the highest. If you're in a hardship tonight, spiritually or any other kind of way, give it to God because you can't handle it. If you could, you already would have. God's got a plan for your life. The great news is God loves you. I love to tell prostitutes that. I love to tell drug dealers that. I love to tell anybody that. God loves you. The reason I know He loves you is because He loved me. If He can love me, He can love anybody. If I could be born again, you can. If I can live for God, you can. Because it's certainly not my strength. It's because of this word right here. It never fails. I want to give you that opportunity tonight. I'm going to close as I always do. I want to pray a simple little prayer, and I want everybody to pray it with me. With your heads up and eyes open. If you got something in your life that you know shouldn't be, we don't have to itemize it. God knows what it is. And He's brought it to your mind today, tonight. And He's willing to take care of it if you just give it to Him. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad He said all. All. No matter how little or how big. You've not done so much that you can't be saved. You haven't done so little that you don't need to be saved. All of us are in the same boat. One's not loster than the other. You're either born again or lost, and that's your choice. Tonight, I'm going to give you the choice, the opportunity to make the choice to change that and follow God. And yes, you can. Yes, you can. I guarantee you can if you want to. If you learn to drive that truck, you can certainly learn to walk with God. To me, it's a whole lot easier. Whole lot easier. Why? I stumble and fall. But I get up. Say, okay, Lord, I learned from that mistake. Help me learn not to do that again. That hurt my nose when I hit the ground. Don't want to do that no more, right? When we go into a valley or hardship, we got one of two options, by the way. We either learn to live there or get out of it. And there's people that live there, and you know that. They don't want anything better. They've learned to live in the valley. They stand on exit ramps all the time. Please help. I like what the Bible says. And this is not verbatim, but basically, instead of giving a fish, let's take him and show him how to fish. It's called work. That is not an ugly four-letter word. Work. But see, they've learned to live in their valley, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but they have learned to live in that valley. What valley have we set up camp in? We may look at them and judge them, but am I in another valley that I just refuse to come out of? Tonight, God will deliver you if you will let him. If you mean this prayer from the bottom of your heart, based on the authority of this book, I can tell you, he will save you and set you free. The highest high I've ever had started December the 19th, 1971, and I ain't come down yet. And so far, it's legal. So far. Let's pray. Would you pray this with me? Wait a minute. Let me say this. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need to pray. Well, you're right. If you're saved, you're saved. But somebody beside you may need to, so I ask you to pray too, okay? You won't get any saveder. There's not degrees, you know. Billy Graham is no more saved than the guy who got saved from a drug background. Saved is saved. Amen? But are you walking it? If you're not walking it, that comes in this prayer too. Commitment to do that. Pray with me. Heavenly Father,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord,
to forgive my sins.
Come into my heart
and help me to be
the kind of Christian
that you want me to be.
I'll live for you.
I'll read your word.
I believe your word.
Help me to walk in your word.
Help me to live your word.
In my everyday life.
Thank you, Jesus,
for forgiving me
and cleansing me
from all unrighteousness.
I am now
a born again
child of the Most High God.
And don't care who knows it.
Amen.
Amen.
I hope that's true. And I say that joke kind of laughing, but you know. I love being on the winning team, man. And I cannot lose. Now, what I mean by lose is the bottom line at the end of the route. You may come back and I've lost my house, I've lost my car, I've lost my pickup, or, you know, you say, well, you lost. We haven't crossed the finish line yet. When I cross that line, I'll win. I'm guaranteed that as long as I live what he said, unless God's a bald-faced liar, which he's not, right? Guaranteed to win.